Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode. We are now delighted to introduce our new sponsor, Orga Retro. Go retro with orgaretro.com. Specialists in county retro style clothing.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ryan, and today I'm joined by current Tipperary minor football manager, John McNamara. John, to kick things off there now, you'd be a very well-known name in Tipperary football circles, of course, the McNamara name down south in Clonmel. Taking on second year now in the Tipperary minor football job, coming after a very good year last year. Just for the listeners who wouldn't be too familiar, which are just a bit about your background or, you know, how you came to be Tipperary football manager as well there.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you having me on tonight. My own name might be very familiar to people in Tipperary football in circles, but it more so because of my father, because it was my father's name as well, John Senior, who went through many of the ranks in terms of Tip football. I think he was the first Tipperary football county board secretary. He selector on many minor senior teams, played minor and senior football himself. Obviously had a very successful career as both a player and a manager in Clonmel Commercial's senior football club. And then obviously the second most famous McNamara in the county would be my brother, Joe. I'm always introduced as you're Joe's brother. So Joe obviously was a fantastic footballer for the club with five senior county medals and also represented Tip at various levels. So I was kind of I'm an unknown factor to a lot of people, I'd say. Maybe last year my profile probably improved a little bit. I didn't have much of a stellar footballing career, even though I played for... We would have played together, yeah, Kevin. So, and I don't know if that's an indictment on me or you.
Yeah. We've both got the best out of ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. I stopped playing in about 2009. I kind of had enough with injuries and stuff. And I also seen that there was, at the time in the club, there was a huge influx of younger players were on the way. You could see them coming. The likes of Seamus and Aldo and Michael and all these guys were on the way. So it's kind of like, you better just step out of the way and leave them at it. The minute I stopped playing, it was Tommy Morrissey who I had announced at the time. I was in the field with him, and I just said to him, look, I'm finishing up now. I've had enough now of this. And he just immediately said to me, he said, you're going to have to go straight into coaching. So I says, you're coming in with me. And we went straight into an under 21 setup. There was Tommy and Philly Ryan, myself and Brian Tyrrell. It was the Donal Lynch, Aldo Matassa, Alan Lundrigan era of players. And luckily enough, we probably punched above our weight at the time in winning. We bet my Rovers in, I think it was the South semi-final, which was the real coup for us, because they were the kingpins of the age group at the time, and went on to win the county title against Arville Rovers. I suppose the key factor in that group was in the South semi-final, we introduced a young fella who was playing cornerback for the high school at the time at the age of 17. We introduced him at cornerback on the club. And then very quickly noticed in the South final that this kid could play anywhere. And then he transitioned. Now, there's always going to be an argument about who made the decision. And I know if it was ever the right decision, but he transitioned into the full forward line. That was Michael Quinlivan. And it was kind of, you could see that. And at the same year, Blossom had the minors as well. And I remember him speaking about the idea that this is potentially the start of something for the club. And it was, as you know what I mean? It was
not only the club there, the
club, but also, yeah. But also yeah. The county. You know what I mean? And I, to be fair, I think we played Davy Power's minor team in the challenge match in around the same time, maybe the year after. And you could see Davy was eyeballing exactly where these players were coming from. And he was going to grasp and try and get the best out of them. Which he did, which was, and like that was kind of the driving factor for a lot of what you're seeing, obviously the success that we've seen over the last couple of years at under 21 level and into the senior ranks then from 2 years ago. So I suppose from there, and obviously with the kids being born, you're naturally transitioning into kind of coaching at a young level. So I kind of moved up through the ranks from under five all the way up into minor. And I was involved, luckily enough to be involved with Charlie in 2015 when we went on to win the Munster club title. So that would, to me, that's like, I wouldn't ever consider like contributed an enormous amount, but you learn so much. When you're seeing like Charlie McGeever stepped into the club, he brought a level of professionalism, obviously from his soccer background, into the club in terms of how things were done, in terms of how you addressed various matters, the logistics and running the club. So we all learned a huge amount from him, and it kind of drove us in terms of our own outlook in terms of what we needed to do and how we needed to improve ourselves. So from that then, pushing into the kind of inter-county, initially starts obviously with a lot of coaches at divisional level. So from under 13, under 14, 15, South divisional teams. Again, working with, like, there was, luckily enough, to be involved with people like Charlie, John Owens, Milo Rovers, Tommy Murphy, Clamelow, Tommy Sheehan, of Feddert. I mean, guys that have seen a lot of football down through the years. So again, you're picking up so much from them and their personalities and how they deal with kids and how they approach the kind of game themselves. I was asked to get on board the last year's minor team when they were under 15. I was asked by Tom Fitzgerald, who was GDA at the time, still a GDA, I should say. He asked me would I get involved with the county's setup, the academy. And at the time, who was in charge was George Hannigan of Shannon Rovers and Mike Donnell, who stayed on with me. Again, George was an amazing addition for those young men to have as a driving force. He's a very quiet guy, but he's deliberate in what he says, and he knows exactly what he's talking about when it comes to the training aspects, to the game's layout and setup and stuff like that. Now, if you were to ask me in 2021 who was going to be the minor, it's summer 21, who's going to be the minor manager of 2022, I would have straight away told you it was going to be George Hannigan. We were all kind of set for that to happen. Unfortunately, I suppose you could say, George's wife ended up expecting another child then in very early 22. And I think he had kind of made the decision at that point, late into 2021, that probably it wasn't the right time for him. He wouldn't have the time to do it. So basically, it was nearly the last late call in October I spoke to Mike Donlan, who was in with the academy. Myself were in with George. And I just kind of said to Mike, look, I'm going to put my name forward because we want to continue with this group of lads. We're enjoying so much with the process that we had been involved in the academy. So Mike said, yeah, go ahead. If you do, I'll jump on board with you. And as fate happens, there was two candidates, myself and there was a chap from Cork who had worked with academies in Cork, who were in front of Conor Dwyer for the interview. They liked kind of what I always spoke about. They probably may have had some idea because of my background, just in club wise, that it might have been advantageous for them. Again, the concern they might have had is, will I focus in, or will I know, coming from the South Tip, of course, would I invest my time as much into the other divisions? Which that was the main thing for me. I did speak about the fact that it's, if nothing else, we have to try and drive football in the other divisions. I think to kind of see the benefit
of. How do you go about that, John? As I said, you know, you're brought up with football around you, so tip the hotbed of tip football. We'll come back to it again last year and stuff like that. But it's an interesting question. So you're going up to maybe like a non-traditional football area, and Conor O'Dwyer himself would be beating this drum as well.
Correct.
You know, what's your strategy? Do you just identify some key young lads that you think if you get them in,
I think you have to potentially dig deep a little further. The one thing I would stress, like obviously Tipperary being the hurling county, and the argument, I suppose the historical argument is that you go the further north and Tipperary you go, the more hurling they are oriented they are. Now, I easily argue the toss that there's as many hurlers down south as there are up north. But you know what I mean? That's a different argument altogether. And we can see that in terms of the layout of the land.
Yeah, when you flip it, John, there as well, you know, you might be saying there's a bit of gold dust for you up north.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But I think you have to try and influence the clubs in terms of the benefit that they can see if they do take on football as an ingredient within their club itself, that they'll see that the players themselves would kind of learn a little bit more about the physicality of the game. Just in terms of presence, like there's so much you can transition between the two sports, hurling and football. You know what I mean? There's skill based. There's probably a lot more skill based activities within the hurling fraternity, but there's so much more in terms of how your position and sense. When you look at it, Kevin, we saw with Kilkenny, was it Brennan with Kilkenny? Now we're seeing it with Limerick. That the strategists and kind of tacticians are stepping into the hurling world at intercounty level who have a football background. So there is benefit to be trying and incorporate. And it's not, and like I know Conor himself, he'd love to see the concept of other clubs, not the usual suspects in a county football, in a club football scene. He wants to see other clubs. Like you see the emergence of Ballina. Now I think that's a special case because of the influx of potential, as you could call them, outside people that have come into that area in Tipperary. There's a lot of kind of different Limerick, Kerry kind of meet, but I think there's a few different people from Dublin area and stuff. So there's probably people who have had football at their kind of core coming in. But he would certainly love to see the other clubs kind of take up the mantle of football and maybe just kind of and start playing it a little bit more. But I definitely think there's benefit. Now, how do you do that? I think it's a kind of a PR campaign. I was recently up with Ross Gray GA Club about two or three, four Saturdays ago. They had obviously Inan Rovers, who were the football club in Ross Gray, had ceased to be. So, and the disappointing thing for me was that there were, like, Inan Rovers recently at juvenile level were strong. Now, they mightn't be winning a county, but they were getting to county finals and things like that. So I Ross Gray would have a significant footballing background as well. So I went up there. I just said to Conor, I said, look, they were reaching out. They decided to make it. They've made it policy within the club that they're going to bring football into the Ross Gray. Obviously, it was Ross Gray Hurling Club, and now it's just going to be Ross Gray GA, because they see the benefit. They obviously see that there's a desire within the playing population. And they also see the fact that ladies football is something that needs to be, that's something that's very beneficial for any club to kind of push as well. So I just went up there on a Saturday morning and had a 2-hour session, just coaching session. And all I really talked about was basically just how I'd approach training of kind of juvenile football, different things, giving tips on what they need to do and just kind of simplifying it. But what I did encourage them, and I always say this, because, and this is something I picked up from, I think it was from Charlie McGeever, you can incorporate so many of your own, you can incorporate drills from different sports within like football to hurling, to soccer to football, to soccer to hurling. There's so many kind of little drills and stuff that you can pick up and just incorporate for whatever you want to do. And then just, and obviously, make it suit what you need, what your needs are. And that's why I was just trying to give them the understanding that everything is in their power if they want to keep driving that process up in Ross Gray. And like I wish them success with it, you know. And like Kevin, as you know well, any sporting team, it's a big investment in time and effort to try and get lads on the pitch. to compete in any kind of sport. So, like, you know what I mean? They're already, like, obviously you'd hope that they can bring in as many parents and stuff into the fold to try and drive it. That's and key.
Minor, you're relying on parents' goodwill as well, you know, to kind of get on board with, you know, you're carrying a panel of 36. I think that's a lot of lifts and, you know,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. And look, well, I'd say 99% of parents will be very supportive and delighted. You know,
yeah, and like, to be fair, like, if, and obviously at minor level, when you get to minor 20, obviously minor level anyway, we avail of the buses that are put on and stuff like this. But our process started in September, where we brought in, I'd say we nearly brought in 100 lads just to kind of start the trial process off. And from that, like, obviously from that, we broke it down. I think we ended up with about 80 lads, and that's going from maybe about October nearly to the middle of January. We started slowly reducing the squad, but one of the, like, obviously it was a huge effort from both parents and players to attend sessions. And the one thing we did do, and thankfully, the one advantage I always say that I have as a football manager at inter-county level is the Friends of Tipperary Football. Friends of Tipperary Football go about their year fundraising constantly, because every single cent that they raise gets pushed towards what we're trying to do, but also beyond us as well, into academy and stuff. So we were able to localize a lot of the gym sessions. So they had to be paid for, but that we kind of made the parents understand, like, look, we're here to try and help the children within this process, help the players in this process, and maybe take the load off a little bit. Now, as I said, we carried about 80 players. For me, that was important, because obviously you're going to reduce it down to a certain squad size, but you want to try and give as many players as possible an opportunity to see what potentially the type of player that they're up against at their own age group is. So maybe they can improve that way. Give them an understanding of initial stage gym sessions in terms of S&C and things like that. You know what I mean? And what certainly was the eye opener for me was the strength and conditioning is a huge eye opener for me. Like, we didn't have that when we were growing up, Kevin. It's so vital that more and more players, like the players who are going up to academy, are now going through the Setanta system up in Thurles, and obviously the minor and stuff. So
I know that's one of the things I want to ask, and I'll come back to your points of how you're going about. But I think, you know, with the lads that have just been through, you know, had a good year introduction at under 17 level, is the gap to under 20 now too much? In that, you see, would you be confident that those lads are going to be kept in the Tip Football Academy / kind of development squad? Because there's a lot of difference between maybe an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old, which is the next inter-county grade, and then a bigger difference again to senior.
Senior,
so, can you think that pipeline is working for? Or
well, all I can go by is with the feedback I've received from Niall Fitzgerald and the boys at under 20 level, and the last year's minors, let's call them 2022 minors, who have stepped into the process. Now, not all of them did. Some are, obviously education takes over as well at this age, but those that have stepped in have very much impressed. And the one thing I might say is that, and again, it's not necessarily they might be the strongest players in the team or the best footballer on the team, but I think the one advantage they might have had over kind of players in the last couple of years is the positive tone in how they came out of last year. We were very lucky. I stressed before, we were very lucky in terms of we got the round robin system in the minor championship last year.
Which I think is important. It's the four counties of Clare, Tip, Waterford, and Limerick. The four, I suppose, correct, in terms of minor football.
Call them the weaker counties. I have no problem saying that. It's not the big two, Cork and Kerry.
It's games, John, isn't it?
It's absolutely games. Like, we had a minimum of three games against Limerick, Waterford, and Clare. We had a round Darrell Darcy final against Limerick. Now, straight away after the final, we were lucky enough to win that. Straight away final, I made a statement. I said both teams needed to go through to the county or to the Munster semi final. And thankfully, somebody might have listened because they don't. That's what's going to happen this year for those who are looking to get to that final. And then obviously, then we had Cork in the Munster semi final. So that's five championship games, which is absolute gold dust for players. They understand, like, they, so all that learning that they got, bar the process that they went through with our, with ourselves in terms of the training, in terms of S&C, in terms of nutrition, in terms of how to deal with injuries and injury prevention, they have, without putting any pressure on players, they will naturally put pressure on themselves because they're competitive. You know what I mean? Players are competitive. So they'll have understood the pressurized environment of a championship game, the week before it. The enjoyment of actually winning a championship game and then ultimately losing a Munster semi-final and what that felt like as well. And understanding, and the knowledge comes from that of, I need to improve. We need to do this. We potentially need to do more, something different. Or as a player, I might need to work on different things. And like it, that's for all we do from those five championship games brought those players on immensely. When the likes of then Charlie King step into the under 20 level, they come in with a real understanding of what inter-county championship football is about. Now, when it comes to, as they mature, they'll start to understand the intensity level goes up, the work rate has to go up again, the physicality goes up, but they'll get that as they mature and they'll understand that. But I think the initial stage, the initial point, and for me, that was what it was. It wasn't actually about winning anything. We wanted to win our first championship game, and we were hoping that we could get to the Munster semi-final, which we managed. Now, the Munster semi-final itself, we let ourselves down in the first 20 minutes. We were not.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Naive, and I have happily admit that we were naive. I think we had played in a kind of an open, expansive type of a game. Again, so when we did come up against Cork, and to be fair, Cork had such a poor game against Kerry that they were probably a bag of nerves, so they had to right a few wrongs when they met us, and they certainly did. Now, again, if I want to make an excuse, we made mistakes on that night that probably were down to our own nerves. And again, that's learning.
You get that at minor.
And that's learning. So that any of the guys who went into that would come out of that then with a better understanding. But as I said, so this year...
Yeah, sorry, this year, exactly. Which I was going to ask about this year, John. I suppose it's we talked about the 36-man panel, that half of which are from the South, which is, you know, it's,
yeah,
I suppose, one thing on that, great to see so many feathered faces, kind of maybe a club that was, you know, kind of gone through a bad few years, but I suppose for the health of Tipperary football, it's great to see that their more feathered names are definitely coming back on the underage teams as well. Five from the North and five from the Mid, I have that right, or no.
No, eight from the mid, five from the north, five from the west.
So it's you've certainly kind of got the mileage in looking at plenty of players and bringing them down. So
and that's the thing. And look, we ended up with bringing six of the group. There's six younger lads. To be honest with you, it could have easily another four, five, six, seven younger lads could have made the grade. They were just unlucky. What I was really happy about this season, when I said we got to about 80 lads, the standard of football was very, very good. Everybody who was there was deserving of being involved in the process. And obviously then we filtered it down, and look, tough decisions were had to be made, and there are lads who didn't make it that could feel themselves very, very misfortunate. But look, that's the way it is. You know, I mean, that's unfortunate. That's competitive sport. Like you're competing against what is the best in the county at your age group. As you said about Feddard, I suppose the advantage I might have had with this particular age group is that I have coached at this age group up for the last couple of years. So I would have had got a good close look at a lot of the South players, if nothing else. And look, I wasn't surprised. Even if it wasn't me that was in charge, I wouldn't be surprised to see the quantity of Feddard lads on there. The work that's been done for let's say the boys born 2006-2007, it's a huge amount of work being done in Feddard with those kids. As you said, for like Feddard, the most senior county titles. And they've gone through a barren patch. And
For now, John.
And like, and as somebody says, like, you need opposition to have a competition. You know what I mean? We need Feddard to come back up into the senior grade and be strong. You know what I mean? We need the likes of Ballinat to start tackling the senior grade and be strong. As I said, somebody, if the lads in Thurles ever decide they want to play senior football, we could all be in trouble because the talent up there is unreal. It's unbelievable. Like we have two of the Thurles lads, Tom Broderick and Ronan O'Brien on the squad this year, which I'm delighted with. You know what I mean? Because I think that Thurles needs to be represented.
I'd agree with a lot of what you said, the cross fertilization between sports, because when they do pick it up occasionally, when you see it, there is a naturalness there and there's a competitiveness there as well.
But like the thing, the way I look upon it is that like if you're a hurling club, there's only so many lads can make a senior hurling team. You know, it is that's only then like so there's and if you're a fairly large club and you're pushing young lads through, and they might make a senior hurling team, but they could have intermediate hurling, they could have intermediate football or junior football or even senior football to fall back on as well, and to find themselves and to mature into what they need to do. So look, that's as you said, cross fertilization works.
Before I suppose we leave the minor aspect, what would be, without putting you on the spot too much now, what do you think would constitute a good year for Tip Minors? I'd say progression maybe into a semi final.
Yeah,
would be solid kind of progress.
My trite comment to somebody before was within Tipperary footballing circles. We're expected to beat Limerick, we're expected to beat Clare, and we're expected to beat Waterford. We can beat Cork on a good day, and we'll never beat Kerry. And that's me being very trite about it. But I think there's a kind of little bit of truth in that. It's not about replicating last year. For me, a successful year this year would not only get to a Munster semi-final, but to approach it in a better fashion, to try and work on our the issues that we encountered last year without any solution and put solutions in place for that. You know what I mean? Myself and Tommy Morrissey had a chat about that if we did the same thing, if we did the same thing as last year, we'd fail. We would have failed ourselves. We would have failed the players involved in the process. So look, we're slowly trying to approach that. Like we're trying to be a little bit more scientific in terms of what we want to do, in terms of how we set up the play, and maybe have one or two different more formations, and potentially look at maybe a slightly more defensive formation if required. Things like that, and try and remove the naivety out of our own. And when I say naivety, I mean for us coaches ourselves, and try and approach it. So yeah, look, my hope is that I'd love to retain the Darrell Darcy final or trophy. It was so important last year because the group of players that we had last year all came from the hands of George Hannigan, who was a close friend of Darrell Darcy up in Shannon Rovers. So it was, and Charlie King being the captain from North Tip, it's just important. We had a lovely evening inside in the Horse and Jockey when we presented the medals, and Darrell's parents were both there to present the trophy and present the medals. So, you know what I mean? It's very important. You see the history of some of these things, and it's very vital for players. So would love to retain the Darrell Darcy trophy if possible, and then set ourselves up for potential crack at one of the big two. And look, not looking for moral victories, but I definitely think we need to show the players that we can potentially align ourselves in a fashion that can possibly get us pushes into the next stage.
And I suppose it's the key date there is April 13th, just so hopefully for the throne. All those games are all your round robin games. Are they in Semple, John?
The first game, April 13th, against Limerick is in Rathkeel. It's the way we had Limerick. Yeah. The next two, Clare and Waterford, they're both set for Semple Stadium now. Obviously comes down to availability of the stadium. If they're not in the stadium, we'll have to look at a different venue.
Bring it down to Clonmel, John.
Bring it down to Clonmel.
Welcome to Hell's Line.
Exactly. No, bring it over. How far can we go? Up to Knockshinnagowna, maybe. Yeah. It's 30 years, actually, since I was played County Minor myself. Under the tutelage of Colin O'Flaherty from Kerry and Johnny Cummins, Art Finnan and Hugh Kennedy, and I remember playing. We played Limerick and Waterford both in Clonmel back in '93. So it's nice for me. It's a nice kind of just a little memory. But one of the really great things I really enjoyed last year was the support we got at all the games from lads from football and people in the county. And Colin, we played the Darrell Darcy final in Mallow. And I remember standing on the sideline in the second half, and I just turned around and I could hear a voice in the back, in my back of my ear, and it was Colm O'Flaherty, senior. And it really kind of gave me a little lift to feel that like he was there, like he was at the strange thing about it back. I think Colm was a minor in 67 or 68, and he proclaims that it was my own father, John Senior, that put him on a minor team. So he responded then by putting me on a minor team in 93, and there he was behind on my shoulder then for last as when I was the minor manager. So it's a lovely little it's kind of like traditional kind of thing that we're there to support each other, and he got a great kick out of it, you know what I mean, just seeing tip minors do well. And I think a lot of people did, because it's a nice little the thing about my father used to always talk about, especially club minor teams, that if you've got a successful club minor team, it's a glimpse into the future of what your seniors will be. And I think that's what people are hoping for in this year, last year, and maybe this year, and as we go forward.
And I think, John, maybe to follow up on that now, I suppose you alluded to earlier on that very successful tip minor winning team in 2011. I know it wasn't a club team. It certainly provided the backbone of some great days in for Tipperary football.
Correct.
Notably, a run to the All-Ireland semi-final in 2016, and of course, the COVID Munster final 2020, when, you know, after, I'm not even going to guess, 70 whatever years since the last Munster win was put to bed and down in Parky Cueve. Now, I suppose the landscape isn't as rosy. Players move on. We've had a lot of turnover in players. One of the reasons we've kind of yo-yoed a little bit in between down to the Division 4 firstly, got out last year, and I suppose we haven't started this league campaign with three defeats well at all, and I suppose we're facing a must-win game against Longford. And I know you're, I suppose, being involved in the tip minor setup, you mightn't be able to say too much, but like, I suppose your thoughts on where tip football is going at the moment, or is there any like one thing maybe, you know, you identify?
Well, I suppose the one thing you definitely can identify, I suppose, for anybody who's kind of looking on with a passing interest in what's happening in football, I think there was a statement made that from the 2020 Munster final winning team panel, there was 9 left from the entire panel. Any county that has now lost Michael Quinlivan and Alan Campbell and Conor Eyre and then you follow that with Bill Maher, and then you follow that up with Conor Sweeney's injury, unfortunate injury, and Stephen O'Brien's injury. That's in itself is a very difficult position for Davy Power to be in. Now, the one thing I will say is that I saw it last year and I'm seeing it again this year, that Davy's put it, I think he's I think he's grasping the nettle on the basis that he's trying to incorporate more and more new players into the squad. You can see that with the lads, some of the lads from Mullaghone coming in, getting their caps last year, and a few other lads then bringing in. But the thing about that is that it's, as we talked about before, the learning curve for minor, but the lowest learning curve for any lad playing senior football. It takes a while to really grasp exactly what the intensity of the game, the pace of the game, different things like that. Like the different systems you might be playing against. So I definitely, for me, I know it's not looking rosy for them at the moment. They're trying to embed kind of a new set of players into the squad themselves, and that does take time. If they drop into Division 4, which potentially they might do this year, they'll address that in the same way that if they remained in Division 3 or if they were promoted to Division 2, they'll address the new season in terms of what they want to set out their goals to be.
I seen an article at the Irish Examiner today. I don't know if you've seen it. It was basically almost like an expose of, you know, where to next for Waterford football.
Yeah.
Who haven't won a game in two years kind of things, and all the different strategies that they could employ now, ranging from getting Derek McGrath involved with the footballers to, you know, sending an SOS to Croke Park, like, and by no means saying Tipperary football is there, you know, is there or will ever go there. But, like, you know, what would be the one thing we spoke earlier on about you kind of going up to various clubs? Like, if you could do one thing for Tipperary football, or say one thing, you know, to be done, what would that be, like, that you think might improve results in the long term?
For the senior footballers themselves?
Yeah, because, like, I'm looking maybe since that post-2015 minor final win, there hasn't been a whole pile of success minor, maybe.
Certainly at minor level, look, don't want to speak. I can't really speak too much about this, the processes that were involved for those players, but you have to encourage, certainly, you have to, from academy upwards, you have to encourage the players to understand that this is a journey that they're about to take place for that. And at minor level, it's nice to make a minor football team, but if you don't make a minor football team, it's the starting point of your adult football. But a club, school, college, and hopefully lads that can go into intercounty. So you're trying to breed a confidence into players and a belief system into players. That's what we're trying to do, and certainly at minor level, that they have the tools available for them to improve and to really tackle and to really believe that they can make an impact at senior level. For the current senior team, I think it's a matter of trying to, rounding the wagons nearly as such. And if they can, like, before they're obviously, whenever late April, May, they're going to begin their championship. They need to put a bit of steel into their entire group. They need to, they really need to kind of get a bit of bitterness into their thought pattern, kind of say, look, we need to fight for something here. We need to prove to ourselves that we're capable of playing inter-county senior football.
I think two of the next games are, as well as that, like these little things you hang on to. I think that Paddy Christie is over long for listening, so that's maybe an added motivation, because whoever loses that game on Saturday is gone.
But that's what it is, and it comes down to the idea that you start addressing, you are only as good as your last game. You start, your only focus is your next game. Your only focus is your next training session. What can we improve? Right now, I'd grab those players and I'd sit them all down and definitely reassess what our goals are for the rest of the season. And be truthful about it and be honest about it. What is the expectation in terms of what we want from this particular season?
Do you think that there's enough time to do that mid-season now with everything a bit more condensed?
Yeah.
As in, we see in the National Football League now, like, I think the Football League is working a lot better in the Hurling League because, you know, there is that kind of ladder of progression there.
Correct, yeah, there is,
I think there is that room for that bit of honesty there after losing three games.
There's room for, absolutely, absolutely. And to be fair, I'm talking on the basis that I would know a good number of the players, obviously, and that would be their mentality. You know what I mean? That they are honest about their own, about themselves and how they approach everything. And they would hold their hands up and say, yeah, maybe I just haven't done enough, or maybe I need to improve on different aspects of my game, improve on my training routines, improve on my whatever daily aspects. But I definitely, for me, it would be worthwhile. It's always worthwhile to talk. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, how do you know how to improve? You know? Like, and in the end, it is the players that have to stand up and take responsibility for what they do on the field. For all what Davey and Charlie and the boys do, and obviously you have the likes of Tommy Toomey and Annie Shelley in the background and the backroom staff. Brilliant, brilliant people.
Good football. Yeah,
brilliant, honestly, brilliant, like, honest football people. And for all that they can do, it's still the players that cross the white line, as you know well. Mm-hmm. It's a cliche, but it's actually true. And for them, I think they need, as a group, to kind of sit down. Now, as I said already, that they've had the wrong end of the stick over the last kind of couple of weeks. And like, I don't care what anybody says. If you're on that panel and you're seeing Conor Sweeney being like coming off the pitch on the base and like knowing that it with such a serious injury, it's psychologically, it's an impact. It really is, like, you know what I mean? Because first of all, on a personal level, you don't want to see anybody with that kind of injury. And for especially somebody like Conor, who's a real leader, and he was a leader in the group, like.
But as well, I think, you know, in modern day football, like, the difference between a lot of teams is that key marquee forward. If you look at Monaghan, Conor McManus for years, not carrying them, but like, you know, I think the difference maker on Conor
Paddy McBrearty. Yeah.
Exactly. And like, you know, if you go back to 2020 again, that sideline against Limerick, which, you know, setting like motion a lot of
exactly.
Events,
oh,
it lifted
the whole team. Like, you could argue you could easily argue, and if Limerick football probably would argue that they probably felt they missed out on a potential Munster final because they potentially were the better team in that semi final.
Absolutely,
but the bit of magic at the end to keep tipping in the game, like. You know what I mean? So, and like, as I say, you have to buy the ticket if you want to take the ride. Like, you know what I mean? And like, you could argue the toss that, no, they were tipper lucky in 2020 that Kerry snatched defeat from the jaws of victory against Cork, and the Cork never turned up in the final, but Tip lads still had to stand up and do it.
Exactly, and you know that final, there was only looked like one winner from 5 minutes in or whatever.
5 minutes in, so, and like, that's.
I suppose that's, that is what tip football can do, is, you know, it's two and
that's
a half.
That's the yardstick. Yeah.
And we're still talking about these, you know, we're still talking about these games. John, best of luck for the year ahead. It'd be great to have you back on, I suppose, mid-championship or that, to see how things are going. Or in a few weeks' time, and to keep on discussing Tipperary football. So we'll keep a close eye on Tip Minor footballs on the socials and all that this year. But thanks a minute.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.